Imagine that I came up here urgently, announcing that I just heard from the Center of Disease Control that there was a biological attack spread through Orange County's drinking water. Anyone who had a sip in the last 24 hours already has the disease. Now, that didn't really happen, so don't get worried. Just imagine that for a minute. But don't worry, because right here, I've got the medicine. If you take one of these pills, you're going to be healed. Now, imagine if I said that everyone who is willing to take one of these pills go to one side of the room and everyone else go to the other side of the room. Maybe you're thinking what you would do. Whether you're even considering taking one of these, which we're not actually going to do, reveals a lot about your relationship with me. Do you believe my warning? Some of you I never met. You have no reason to believe this. I sound as crazy as I sound. Maybe some of you, it's a question, do you believe that this is the actual cure? If you do believe that there's a problem. Maybe the question is, do you trust me enough to swallow one of these small, unidentified pills which could lead to your death? In one sense, my claim could be your salvation. It could be rescue from this disease that's spreading rapidly. Regardless of whether it leads to your salvation or not, it would definitely be a matter of separation. It would separate those who believe that they are sick and believe that I have the cure from those who don't. And I would not fault you at all when it comes to these pills, which I found in my cupboard and probably are expired for a long, long time. My previous doctor on here. I wouldn't fault you if you were like, I'm not going to get on that side of the room. I'm not taking one of those. Tonight, we've got a very simple, big idea. Jesus Christ, who we've been singing about, whose birth we've been celebrating, came to earth to bring salvation, but he also brought separation. Jesus came to earth to bring salvation, but he also brought separation. Tonight, how you respond is a matter of your salvation. Not to these little pills here, but to God's word. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to Luke 2:22. Really, the heart of the story begins in verse 27. But to get there, we need a couple scenes that are set up. So the first scene begins in verse 22 of Luke 2. So this is, you can imagine, this is scene one. And when the days for their purification according to the law of Moses, and they is probably referring at least to Mary, maybe Mary and Joseph, according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. That's referring to Jesus. They brought Jesus to Jerusalem to present Jesus to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Okay, that's scene one. I don't know if you are familiar with this portion of God's word. This is about 40 days after the birth of Christ. Jesus is just about 6 weeks old. It was a 90-mile journey from Nazareth to Jerusalem. And we don't really know for sure if they were in Nazareth. We know that they returned to Nazareth after this. Maybe Joseph and Mary tried to stay in the area knowing that that would be quite the journey to make with a six-week-old. Some of you know the difficulty of coming to church with a six-week-old, much less make a 90-mile journey. So we don't know where they were. They went to the temple for a sacrifice of purification. That was that two turtle doves there. They brought two turtle doves instead of a lamb because they were poor. They also brought money to redeem their firstborn son. The scripture talks about that every firstborn son was to the Lord, but they could, in a sense, redeem and buy that child back. Now, what we haven't seen here yet is there's more to the story of why God brings them to the temple. So that's scene one. Joseph and Mary with 6-week-old, almost Jesus, going to the temple. We're going to cut to scene two in verse 25. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, there's much we don't know about Simeon. We don't know his job. Some people guess that he may have been a priest, but it's probably that he wasn't. He does appear, from reading this, to have been waiting for a long time. We know more about his character than about Simeon himself. We know that he was a righteous man. That means he was a law-keeping man. That didn't mean that he was trying to do good things to make himself right with God. He loved God's law. He was a righteous man. It says that he was a devout man. Devout is sometimes translated as God-fearing. He was a cautious man, is behind the Greek word. He lived fearing God. We know his character. We also know what Simeon was longing for. Simeon was longing for the consolation of Israel. The Greek word behind that word consolation is the same Greek word that's often translated as comfort. In the Septuagint, and those of us who were here on Sunday at Cornerstone heard from Isaiah 40 verse 1, comfort, comfort. And it's the same Greek word in the Greek version of the Old Testament. Simeon was longing for the comforting of Israel. He was longing for the removal of that punishment, for the pardoning of its sin, for reconciliation with God, for the revelation of God's glory. Now it says at the end of verse 25 that the Holy Spirit was upon him, that God, the Holy Spirit, had a unique ministry through Simeon. He had promised Simeon that he wouldn't die until he saw the Lord's Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ. These are the two scenes, and they come together in the temple. Now, this isn't in the inside of the temple. This is either the courtyard of the Gentiles or maybe the courtyard of the women. And it says in verse 27, he, referring to Simeon, came in the spirit into the temple. God brought Simeon into the temple. And when the parents, Joseph and Mary, brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, verse 28, then he took him into his arms. Simeon goes up to Joseph and Mary. You can imagine this is kind of awkward. This older man comes up and just takes the child out of Mary's arms and bless God. He worships God right there. His eyes are seeing what has been promised and said. And we see what he said in verse 28. In verse 29. And here we look at the good news of salvation. This is the first part of our big idea. The Lord Jesus came to bring salvation. So we're going to start off with some really good news here. It says in verse 29, now Lord, this is Simeon praying to God, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. Lord, you promised that I wouldn't die before seeing the Christ, the anointed one. Now I can die happily because you've kept your promise to me. Go on to verses 30 and 31. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people. Jesus is God's salvation for sinners. Jesus was prepared for sinners by God. God the Father sent the eternal God the Son to be born of Mary, for deity to be ever, forever joined with humanity. Jesus is our salvation. He is the salvation for us from sin's punishment. He is the Savior from our slavery to sin. He is the Savior in the future from sin's presence and from Satan's influence. Jesus is the only cure offered to sinners. Jesus is the only cure offered to sinners. Acts 4:12 says that there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. He is the only cure offered to sinners. Only through him you can be saved. Only through submission to him as Lord. Only through faith in his sacrifice on your behalf. That's what happened on the cross. Jesus died to take the place of sinners. Simeon continues in this prayer. He describes this salvation. He says, I've seen your salvation, verse 32, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Salvation is described as light. Salvation is having the blinding effects of sin removed so that you can see the glory of God the Father. It's the taking away of your aversion to Him, your distaste for Him, your boredom for Him. And it's the revelation of God and all of His beauty so that you want Him. That is what salvation is. Jesus is salvation, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and of glory to Israel, the making of God known. Again, we were in Isaiah 40 on Sunday. Isaiah 40, verse 5, describes this. Describes how the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all flesh will see together. That's exactly what's going on here. The glory of the Lord is being revealed and all flesh are seeing it together. This is the good news that God has made Himself known in Jesus Christ. John 1, verse 18 says that no one has seen God at any time. He is spirit. We can't see Him with our eyes. But the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him. God the Son has made the Father known. He has been glory to Israel. Jesus is that light that reveals who God is. Verse 33 of Luke 2 says that His father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about Him. They were amazed. Now, this wasn't because Jesus was proclaimed as salvation. Jesus' name means Yahweh saves, coming from the Jewish word Joshua. They knew that He was the Savior. But I think they were shocked by the extent of this salvation. Not just of glory to the people of Israel, but for a light, a revelation to the Gentiles. And that is good news for us here tonight. This cure, this salvation, wouldn't be offered to the Jews only, but to all the world, including us. That's the good news. The Lord Jesus would bring salvation. But Simeon went on. And he has some hard news. See, the Lord Jesus would bring salvation, but He also brought separation. The Lord Jesus brings salvation, but He also brought separation. Not all would receive the cure provided by God's own hand. In verse 34, beginning, it says, And Simeon blessed them, Joseph and Mary, and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel. The Holy Spirit prophesying through Simeon divided people into two groups by how they respond to Jesus. And that is true of those here tonight, that there are two groups. There are those who will fall because of Jesus, and there are those who will rise because of Jesus. Some in Israel would refuse the cure offered by God. They would fall, forever excluded from God's kingdom. They would fall to eternal destruction, but there were others who would rise, who would take the salvation that God offered, that would rise, that would be welcomed into His kingdom, that would have eternal life of knowing and loving and obeying God forever. This was a hard saying, and during His ministry, Jesus said hard things about Himself that forced people to decide, will I follow? Jesus said things like, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me will live even if he dies. Can you imagine one of us saying that? I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Me. Jesus said, He who has seen Me has seen the Father. These were hard sayings of Jesus that separated people. Would they follow the one that said He was the way, the truth, the resurrection, the life? Jesus also said hard things about following Him. He forces people to make a choice, even as He would have you tonight to make a choice if you don't know Him. In Matthew 10, verses 34 to 39, just listen to what Jesus says. So different from what we often hear Jesus say. And again, don't forget the good news of salvation. This is just the hard news of separation. Jesus said, Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household because of their allegiance to Christ. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. There's nothing I want more than my daughters to love Jesus Christ, but even if they refuse, I must follow. He who has found and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He says, if you're going to follow after me, you have to follow me to your death. These are hard things that Jesus said. And many would find the cure that Jesus Christ offered is too unpleasant. Like children who will not sit still at the dentist, even though they have cavities. They're like, no, I won't sit here. I won't abide this. Or they won't take that unpleasant cough syrup. You know, they spit it out because they're like, no, I don't want that. Many found the cure of Jesus Christ too unpleasant, and they forsook the salvation that he offered. Please don't do that tonight. And some just ignored that they were sick. They thought that they were good enough in themselves, that they were okay, that they didn't need a Savior, that God would be somehow placated by their good works, somehow satisfied. They too rejected Christ. But others who put their faith in Christ would rise. They would rise not off of their sickbed, but even more off of their deathbed, even more out of the grave, because that is what coming to Christ is. It is coming to him and saying, I am dead in my transgressions and sins, and I need life, and Jesus has that life. And that is why Jesus Christ came, for your salvation. But the truth is that he would also be a cause of separation. Jesus continues, Simeon continues at the end of verse 34. He says that he's a sign to be opposed. He's holding this baby Jesus in his arm. He wants nothing more than the consolation, the comfort of Israel, but he knows this baby Jesus is going to lead to many rising, but many falling. And he says this child is going to be a sign that's going to be opposed. He's going to reveal God, but people are going to stiff-arm that, and people are going to reject that revelation of God. He's going to be contradicted and spoken against. He's going to be argued with rather than believed and submitted to. No matter the warnings that Jesus makes, no matter the miracles that Jesus does, no matter the love that Jesus shows. And then he makes an aside. He says something to Mary. He says to Mary, and a sword will pierce even your own soul. And this isn't a dagger. This is a two-edged giant broadsword. He said, Mary, this little baby is going to rip apart your heart. Now that could be because Mary was there when she saw her perfect son take the punishment of sinners. Maybe that is when she went through this tearing apart of her soul, this cutting of her soul. But it could have also been what she saw Jesus go through. She saw Jesus's obedience to God the Father. She saw Jesus leave his family to embrace the job that God the Father had given him. And even the next story in Luke tells this, how Jesus goes to the temple as a 12-year-old and says, I've got to be about my Father's business. And that really describes Jesus's relationship with Mary as an adult. I'm here to do what my father's told me. It's not my time. My mother and my brothers are those who obey God's word. He was totally looking forward to the work that God had given him. You can imagine what that would have been like for a mom to go through, seeing her son completely committed to obedience, which would have been wonderful, but also knowing that that obedience was increasingly rejected by those around him, that he had the power to take the throne, but he doesn't, and he suffers instead. And how hard that would have been for her. Simeon ends at the end of verse 35. after that aside about Mary. And he says, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. This is what's going to happen. They're going to be rising and falling. And how people respond to Jesus is going to be the revelation of their hearts. And our response to Jesus Christ exposes the health of our hearts. And so what is your response to Jesus Christ, the salvation that God has provided for Jews and Gentiles alike? Are you the sick who come for salvation? Children, are you the sick who come to Jesus Christ for salvation? Or are you saying, no, I'll come later. No, I'm okay. No, I want to continue pleasing myself. Or do you come saying, no, I need that salvation? Will you come humbly, regardless of the cost, to take the salvation which is found in Jesus Christ alone? Will you rise or will you fall? Jesus is the only salvation that God has prepared in the light of all peoples. Will he bring to you tonight who don't know him, will he be your salvation? Or will you choose instead to oppose him, to be separated from him? We are all desperately sick. Will you be one of those who fall into death and forever separated from God? Or will you be one of those who, when they die, rise to be forever with him? Jesus Christ is the Lord, and God has exalted him as a Savior of all men who put their faith in him. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for this prophecy from Simeon, and it was orchestrated by you as your law told Moses 1,400 years before the birth of Christ to bring a newborn into the temple for a mother to be purified. You orchestrated this event and you had told Simeon to be waiting, that he wouldn't die until he saw your Messiah. And you brought them together so that we would have this prophecy tonight, so that we would hear the good news of salvation in Christ alone. Oh Lord, I pray that you would be convincing to all here who don't know you that we are desperately sick, that we are sick in our appetites, that we love sin more than we love you, sick in our estimation of ourselves, that we are good enough to get to heaven on our own, sick of our stubbornness, exalting ourselves above you, telling you what is true about you, suppressing the truth about you. Lord, I pray that you would weigh heavy on the hearts of all who don't know you, and that they would see Christ exalted as salvation. They would turn to him and be saved, and they put their faith in him, Lord. I pray, Father, that you'd be working in the hearts of our little ones, that they would love this exalted Savior that they've been singing about. And I pray, Father, that this would be refreshment for those who have put their lot in with Jesus Christ, to whom he is their only hope, who have taken the cure of Christ and drunk deeply of him, that they would be refreshed, that they have salvation, that they have seen your glory in the face of your Son. And Lord, that we will rise again to see you in completeness. We long for that. And our hearts cry what they always do, come, Lord Jesus. And please may all here be ready for his return. Thank you for this prophecy that you preserved for us, nearly 2,000 years old. In Jesus' name, amen.